And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I thank you for tuning in today. I've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to look at some of the various actors in the real estate space, two in particular. And for me, this was triggered in part because a common question I get out there, you know, I retired, just a little over 2 years ago at age 47. I left corporate America because of the rental property, the portfolio that we built up that's created a ton of cash flow, comes in every month, no matter what I'm doing. People think of flippers. And my goal today is help you to understand some of the maybe similarities, but more importantly, the differences between flippers and rental owners, because that is what I am. I am a rental owner. We own, my wife and I, both single family houses here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. If you're new to the program, I'm in North Texas around Dallas, and we also own houses down near Houston, and we're also investors in apartments. That's what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. We find residential rental investments, houses and apartments. But again, people think about flippers, and I want you to understand some of the differences, some of the risks involved in those, and how much, you know, how people are making money in both sides of the discussion there, as a flipper and as a rental owner. And by the way, if like me, your goals include regular, consistent, recurring cash flow, then rentals are absolutely the way to go. If your goal is to supplement your income to help your family during inflationary times, because inflation, as we know, is still present, that's going to be rentals, because you can create an additional $400 maybe on one house, $500, buy another one, double that to $1,000. I mean, the sky's the limit here. You can create as much as you need in passive income by investing in rental properties. But I know what you're thinking right now. Mortgage rates they're just too high. How does it even cash flow? It's probably better to flip. Well, do some digging online if you have the time and ask yourself, what is the actual demand for a retail home purchase right now? What are the buyers up to? What is actually going on in the market? Are those higher mortgage rates perhaps dampening that side of the business as well? And I think more interesting for those that are rental owners or that are considering becoming one, very interesting article that I came across. This was on Realtor.com, and they began collecting statistics a number of years ago on the cost of home ownership, to actually own your personal residence, compared to the cost of renting. And their February 2024 report shows that renting a starter home specifically is what they're looking at, not million-dollar houses, but what most people are out there buying, a starter home. Renting a starter home is more affordable than buying one in all of the 50 major metropolitan statistical areas that they are reviewing. Everywhere, it is better to rent than to buy. Interestingly, by the way, most of what we are buying as rental owners following the Lifestyles Unlimited model are the starter type homes. Now, Lifestyles, which began in Texas over 30 years ago, three plus decades ago, grew up in Texas, into North Texas, out of Houston, San Antonio, is now across the nation. So when I give you this next kind of number here, keep that in mind. But typically what we're buying has a market value when we're done with our repairs of anywhere between $100,000 up to maybe $300,000, or maybe a little higher. $100,000 seems pretty low, but in some of the markets where I've seen the numbers, Kansas City, for example, it may be $150,000 market value, all the way up to $300,000, $350,000 in higher cost markets like Dallas or perhaps Chattanooga. But the big point for you is that if renting a starter home is more affordable than buying, and you're thinking about flipping a house, and that's your target market, your target demographic, you might be in for some pain. So, hey, I think I've tipped my hand very clearly. I'm a rental owner. I'm very much in favor of rentals, but I want to help you understand the difference over the course of the show so that maybe you can make an informed decision when you decide to start getting active in real estate. By the way, to go back to that article we were just looking at, this was on Realtor.com, the 50 metros. It's cheaper now to rent than to buy across all the major 50 rentals. If you're wondering, okay, Andy, what about Dallas-Fort Worth, Arlington? That's the MSA where I sit. It is 79.3%. That's their math. More expensive to buy than to rent. Sounds like a pretty easy decision for a lot of people out there. Here we're talking about starter homes. Now, those that are looking for starter homes and those that are looking for investment property, who are you going to go to work with? Typically a realtor. So that's somebody that is a player or an actor in this real estate space that you absolutely want to know. Now, I'm going to jump to our next player. That's the flipper. And that's going to, obviously, that's part of the focus of the show. And what a flipper is doing is they're buying a property and essentially they're adding value through renovations, which they then capture that value at resale when they sell that on the retail market. That's generally what we're seeing right now. Now, years ago, maybe a decade plus ago, when the market was very strongly trending upward, some people would buy a house, sit on it for a handful of months, and then flip it. At zero value, just let the market ride upward. That's not something you can do right now. They're just selling it into the retail market and capturing a little bit of a profit. That is flipping as well. The flipper that I'm thinking about, though, is the one that is actually going in and taking a house that needs some loving and adding the value before putting that back on the market. So that's a flipper. Now, I mentioned a realtor. They help us source property. Somebody else you want to know, whether you're a flipper or you're buying and holding as a rental owner, somebody very important to know is a wholesaler. And I talk about these on the show quite a bit. They're very important to both flippers and rental owners as property sources. What a wholesaler does, they're very good at marketing, and they may be very good at closing a sale, so to speak, or closing a contract. What they do is you've probably gotten these texts from people, random people that want to buy your house. Maybe you've gotten a postcard or a call. That's what they do. And they get a contract with a seller. They get a contract, and then they flip that contract to an investor like me, or maybe they sell the contract or assign the contract to a flipper. That's in a nutshell what a wholesaler does. Very important to know, but it's also very important for you to understand that a lot of people get into the business, let's say, of wholesaling with very little education, very little experience, have no idea what renovations cost, may behave a little bit less than ethically. So as you get into this space and start to work with wholesalers, be very well informed of the partner sitting across from you that's bringing you that contract, that's assigning you that contract. Are their numbers good or are they not? Always do your own due diligence. Handle with care in essence. That's a wholesaler. Good person to know. Good people to have on your, good people with whom to be on their email list, I should say. And the last one I want to mention, it's not really a person so much as a strategy that's come up in the last 5, 6, 8 years, something like that, is called wholetailing. It's kind of a blending of what a wholesaler and a flipper do. A wholesaler, right, they're getting that contract at wholesale prices, and they're assigning that to an investor like myself. A flipper is getting that house and buying it and adding some value and putting it into the retail market. Somebody that is a wholetailer, they're doing something kind of in the middle there. They're acquiring this property at wholesale prices, maybe doing some minor repairs. Maybe it just smells real bad, so they pull the carpet out, put it on the market. Maybe the foundation's out of level, so they put some dollars in to level the foundation, but leave that 60s cosmetic mess in the house. Maybe they add a new HVAC. It's very minimal upgrades, maybe something that would seem a little too daunting to an owner-occupant. And then they just relist it and sell to an owner-occupant, somebody that thinks they're going to go in and add some elbow grease and make this home their own. So wholetailing is basically getting it at wholesale prices with a little bit of a markup, usually with the goal of a pretty quick turn. Now, this might be an opportunity for a rental owner, depending on the price points. Unlikely, but if you know somebody that's regularly wholetailing property, it might be good to be on their list as well. there may be some opportunity there. And that takes me to different approaches. Focus just on buying rental property that I want you to understand, because this will feed the conversation when we talk about flippers. And there are different approaches to buying rentals. We've talked probably ad nauseum on the show about buying with financing versus all cash. I'm not going to go into that today. By the way, if you want to catch any of our prior shows, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. You can click on the radio tab there. But I'm thinking I've got something else in mind, which is some people will go in and they don't want to do any renovations at all. They're looking for something that is called rent ready. They may go in, buy with conventional financing because there's nothing that needs to be fixed, so they can get a regular loan, put 20% down, or even 15% for a while. I don't know what the market's doing now, but for a while you could get away with doing 15% down on a rental property. Good way to limit your cash into the investment. And the target here is just to get that up and running very quickly. It's more of a cash flow play. More of a cash flow play because you're not buying equity. So why might you go this route, straight conventional, just for the cash flow? Again, not much equity. Check them out. Sometimes the equity is good, but typically it's a cash play. Compare that to what we at Lifestyles Unlimited commonly do. We're out there looking for properties that are distressed, typically physical distress, right? I mentioned foundation might be out of whack, might need a new roof, may just be cosmetic stuff, right? But needing some love and bringing it from the 60s into the 2020s. So we're going to buy this, and then we're going to renovate it, and then we're going to rent it out. And typically, the condition is bad enough that we can't get that regular financing like the rent-ready buyer might. That might be called turnkey as well, by the way. So we're typically financing with a product called hard money or private money, something that doesn't care about the condition of the property. There are shows on our website as well all about hard money. But we buy with hard money, get the renovations done, rent it out. But because of the process and the way that we're buying and the fact that these properties are distressed, we're able to buy at a discount. And because of that discount, our out-of-pocket, our investment into the property, is typically much, much lower than buying with a conventional loan. And our equity that we capture through the process, that's the delta, the difference between my purchase price plus the renovations to the market value at the end of the day, that's my equity buffer, my equity capture. So if I buy a house for 100K, put 50 into it, I'm all in at 150 plus some closing costs. If the market value is 200, I've just created $50,000 in equity. We call that equity capture. So why go the renovation route? That right there. And that's typically what flippers are looking for as well, right? That's our commonality there between us as rental owners that are buying rehab properties and flippers. We're looking for that equity capture. The big difference is rental owners retain that equity capture for a period of time, whereas flippers give that away or recapture that through the retail sale. Hey, quick break. When we come back, let's get into more of the similarities and then, more importantly, the differences between the two.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Want to retire in 5 years or less? You can do it, just like Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa.
So we started passively. It was on vacation is when we realized we really need to take the plunge and be more active in this. Just because I'm an educator, I wanted to really know what I was doing. So it was just education on my part is really big and knowledge. And I'm like, well, I could do that.
Go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Enter code 2024. Join and learn for just $297 with Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have any questions for me, send those to askandy@luinc.com. You can askandy@luinc.com. So let's start to look now a little bit more closely at flipping versus rentals. And just to go back to the start of the show, when people ask me what I do, I typically start to talk about looking for houses, blah, blah, blah. And invariably, I get the question, are you a flipper? No, I'm the farthest thing from that. I'm holding these properties. I'm a rental investor. I'm a rental owner. So if you're new to real estate and thinking about becoming an investor, I want to make sure that you understand the differences between the two. Now, let's start, before we get to differences, with some similarities. And I described in the prior segment some different approaches to buying rental property, becoming a rental owner. I want you to understand that there are different ways to get into the rental business in terms of financing, et cetera, types of property you buy. But for the bulk of the show, I'm thinking about the rental owner that's buying the distressed properties, okay? Flippers, like I, as a rental investor, we are out there, and what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited and what we teach you is how to find and buy these distressed properties. We're all looking for distressed properties from distressed sellers because that's where we can get the best discount in order to go in and then add value. Again, these properties could be a wreck. Right, they foundation out of whack. Maybe there was a fire. Maybe the roof has damage. Could be something a little bit easier. Maybe it just needs a cosmetic updating because it hasn't been touched since the 60s when the house was built. We see those. We see the population is turning over, and we're seeing more and more of those hit the market. And due to the distressed nature of the property, we're typically using some form of special financing, both as flippers and as rental owners, to acquire the property. Maybe the property itself is in good shape, but the owner is having a fire sale because of divorce. It's an inheritance that they don't know what to do with, don't want. Maybe it's headed for the foreclosure steps, for the foreclosure sale. So they may be in a hurry. And conventional finance won't work in that situation. So we're normally buying with either private money or hard money. Hard money is a type of private money, but typically these are companies that are offering the loans. Whereas private money, I may be going to my grandma, because I know her money's making her, what now, 4% in the bank. I may offer her 8% or something like that for the term of the loan. So typically using some sort of special financing to acquire the property as a flipper and as a rental buyer. And what are we both doing? We're going in and we're renovating the property. We're behaving similarly in that respect. We may be targeting slightly different markets, possibly. Flippers might go for a higher price point than what I described earlier in the show. But on the whole, distressed properties, rehab, and then some exit strategy. Big, big difference, obviously, is that the flipper has an immediate exit strategy of a retail sale. Getting that out onto the market, disposing of it to capture that equity that I created by renovating the property. Whereas a rental owner, we're going to exit that hard money loan that we have on the property, and we're going to transition into long-term debt, typically Fannie Mae-typed product, lesser interest rate, 30-year term, something like that, with the plan then to hold for 3 to 5 years, or whatever your strategy dictates, some number of years, right? Big difference there. Now, flippers typically need to buy actually at a deeper discount than a rental owner does, or they're going to give up some profit. Right. Theoretically, a rental owner can pay more. And I've had this conversation with a lot of wholesalers over the years. Oh, you're a landlord. You can come out of pocket more. Well, no. Why would I want to do that? Personally, I view my rentals as, you could think of them as slow flips. Fix them up now today for a retail sale that simply occurs multiple years in the future. So they think because I'm sitting on this for longer, I can give up some more of that upfront profit, but I really don't want to do that. Now, there are times where you as a rental owner may say, you know, I've got two houses on that street and I will pay a little more to get that third one that individual is selling. So there may be occasions, there may be justifications and reason for which you may do that, but don't think you have to. Now, rehab, renovations, we buy the house, whether it's sourced through a realtor or a wholesaler or just somebody that we know, we're going to go in and we're going to renovate these both as a flipper and as a rental owner. Typically, if you're flipping, you're going to go in and spruce that property up a little bit nicer. If you talk to any general contractor out there, they're typically going to have some idea of the cost for a retail renovation, a retail sale, a flip, versus the cost to turn that into a rental. Now, another footnote, I will tell you that if you are following the Lifestyles Unlimited model, our motto is best product, best price. So we may go above and beyond. You know, we're probably renovating that house to a higher standard than you may have thought. That does not mean that we're going out there and over rehabbing, right? You do need to be careful with your rehab dollars. And as rental owners, we do make additional changes to the property that a flipper will not. For example, I'm going to go in and add peepholes in the doors and keyless deadbolts or something similar on all the exterior doors. Here in Texas, that's a requirement. That's part of state property code for rental property. Be in tune with what that requirement is. Smoke detectors is another one, usually in each bedroom and adjoining halls, whereas a flipper may be renovating to local code. I'm going to be renovating in part to meet property code requirements as well as whatever municipality requirements may be in place. You need to learn what those are in your market. But back to exit strategies. Flipper, that's the retail sale. Whereas the rental owner, yes, it is a retail sale, but many years into the future. And whereas the flipper is opening that up to the broader market, we may do that as a rental owner, but we have other choices. I may sell to another investor that I know. Going back to that rental investor that is looking for rent ready. There are a lot of people out there that want turnkey properties. That's not me. I'm not one of those. But that's somebody that I can potentially sell my house to with that resident in place. That's an option. Or you can do an off-market sale to your resident. You already have the perfect buyer in place. They're in the house. They know the house. They're not going to make a lot of demands about fixing up the house. You control the timeline. There are a lot of positives and a lot of good reasons to sell to your resident, something that flipper cannot do. So exit strategies, I think we have a little more flexibility as rental owners. We certainly have time on our side. We'll get to that. That's a very, very important consideration. We'll hit that in the last segment. Now, a couple of terms I want you to think about as well. If you're just thinking real estate, I want to be a real estate investor, and you're thinking that's a flipper. Well, flipping by its very nature is active. It does require hustle because you have to find that property that you're going to buy. Then you have to renovate. It doesn't mean you personally are renovating. You may have a team or you may have a general contractor, etc. But you have to get it renovated. You have to sell it. And then the process has stopped. You get your income. And unless you go out and do it again, no more income. No activity equals no income. Flipping is a job. You have to keep it going. You have to keep that thing turning. It is transactional by its nature. And I did not retire personally. I don't know about you, but I did not retire from corporate America to take up another job. So flipping is active. Compare that to rentals. Rentals are passive. We go out, we find the same property, needs similar level of work to renovate it, foundation, roof, etc., cosmetic, and then we rent it out. And then what do? We can sit back and enjoy the cash flow and watch the equity build because, again, we're sitting on that for a period of time. We have time on our side. And interestingly, whether I self-manage the properties or I hire a property manager, which is going to be more passive, the IRS says that rental activity by its nature is passive. There's an IRS publication 925. Even if the investor material participates, it says rental activity is passive. Even if I self-manage, which I do. So active versus passive. By the way, one other strategy is that you can deploy passive losses against passive income, passive gains. And we already heard that the IRS does view rental owners as, or rental owners' income as passive income, even if, like I am, you're self-managing. So I think from a tax perspective, the differences are very stark, and the benefits to the rental owners, I think, for me, is very clear anyhow. By the way, I mentioned a moment ago that rental owner is viewed as passive by the IRS. You can turn that into an active role if you can qualify and declare yourself as a real estate professional. If you do that, that income is now active. Those losses are now active, and you can take any losses, and these are typically paper losses, from your role as a real estate professional and use those to offset earned income from, say, a spouse or similar. We get into very much more detail around this notion at our two-day financial freedom seminar. You can learn about that if you go to our website, lifestylesunlimited.com. So lots of tax advantages. What about risks? My question to you, think about time. Think about that clock, the weeks, the months, the calendar. Whose side is time on? The flipper or the rental owner? Against whom is time working? Do you think that flippers loved it when the average days on market for a sale were under 30 days. Absolutely they did. But that's been ticking up. That's been increasing. And I'm going to harken back to the start of the show. I mentioned a lot of people think of flipping when they hear real estate investing. It's not true investing, as we've discussed already. And when they ask me what I do, they think I'm a flipper. And this is informed in part because of all the shows you can watch out there, streaming and otherwise. But these shows never tell the full story. And there's a very big component that goes into what we're doing both as flippers and rental owners. And that's our holding costs. So what are holding costs? During that period of time while I'm renovating that house and trying to either sell it or lease it, I'm paying interest for the financing, whether that's hard money or something else. Even if you pay all cash, there are certainly, right, hidden financing costs, the cost of money there. I'm paying for utilities. I'm paying for insurance. And if it's a renovation, a rehab property, and I have builder's risk, that gets pretty pricey. Property taxes, I'm accruing for those, of course. Ongoing costs for things like security on a vacant property. So we're going to have similar holding costs, whether we're rehabbing to sell or rehabbing to lease. But here's where time is on our side. The longer those holding costs accrue to the flipper, when they do finally sell that property, that profit is being eaten away at and eaten away at again and eaten away at once more. They never talk about these on the shows, by the way. Whereas I, once we're leased, I begin to recoup any of those holding costs. Because I'm buying for cash flow, that cash flow will go against my cash into the property, in essence. Once we're leased, we're just sitting pretty. The flipper, just out of pocket. Their profit declines. By the way, time elapsed does lead to other risks. During that hold time, as a flipper, you may see the market shift. This is what happened in 08, 09, 2010, why so many people got caught with their pants down. Interest rates could shift. Yes, that does impact me as a rental buyer, but that's going to impact the flipper as well. Fewer people are buying due to where mortgage rates are. That's why, as we heard at the start of the show, it's much more cost-effective for people in all of the 50 markets that Realtor.com reviewed, much more cost-effective to rent right now than to buy. So if I bring a property to market as a rental and the flipper brings one to market as a retail sale, I'm probably going to occupy mine, move mine more quickly. So there are other risks that go into this. Rehab risk, we have that on both sides. Again, thinking about time, if I make a mistake on my renovation budget, and I've done that before. I got to the finish line, got the house rented with $400 in equity on my fourth house. I remember this. A couple years later, fast forward, we'd accrued so much equity through appreciation, equity buildup, etc., that we were able to cash out $60,000 doing a cash out refi. I have time on my side. You as a rental owner have time on your side. Making money five ways, the flipper does not. It's transactional. It is a job. It is taxed like a job. I much prefer passive income. So hopefully this has given you something to consider if you are thinking about the one or the other. Put these little bank machines, these little rental properties in a place and let them make you money five different ways. Cash flow, all the equity plays, all the tax advantages. Now, if you want to learn more about how we do it at Lifestyles Unlimited, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. Register for our free workshop, and then be sure to go out and attend our two-day financial freedom seminar. Thank you for listening today. You have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.